Ask the Podiatrist on Talk About, brought to you in association with the Tralee Killarney Podiatry Clinics, your local foot and ankle experts.
Now, Anne-Marie is here with us and you're welcome as always.
Hi, Deirdre. Thanks for having me.
I was thinking about you recently.
Oh, Jesus.
When I bought runners. And I was thinking afterwards, Anne-Marie would kill me if she saw these runners. I bought them. Now, they were Adidas.
Oh, yeah.
And they were on sale.
Yeah.
And I suppose really I should have been suspicious. We all love a bargain. But I've been walking on them a lot and since I bought them, and they're just, they don't feel right. They don't feel like my feet are supported enough.
No, because Adidas is more of a kind of a fashion brand. It's not a functional brand, so we wouldn't normally. Now, I wear Adidas myself, but that's for going for a coffee.
Yeah.
Not for walking the road. So they're not built for mileage. So if they're very flat, normally they'll drag the legs and they'll cause tiredness, which a lot of kind of, as I class them, going to town shoes would do that. But like, you can buy a lot of the Adidas, like I know a lot of people use them for running, but they've gone very soft. So
yeah, because Adidas weren't always that soft before.
No, but every brand has gone soft, especially in the last year. So I'm always very mindful of when patients come in of foot types and orthotics and jobs and whatever lifestyle, as in how long will they last and will they actually hold the patient? Because if they're very soft, what happens is the feet kind of turn to a bit like jelly, they start to wobble. And so it's like, I always explain to patients that, you know, if you sat on the mattress, you know, the way you sink, same as a shoe that's soft. So you'll sink. So if they're carrying 12 stone, they'll compress quite easily. So normally on trainers which have foam, you'll see the kind of feather lines forming after about a month or two. And once those feather lines are forming, the foam is starting to compress.
Yeah. So I know you said before, ages ago, and you've probably said it a few times, that your rule of thumb should be like that you shouldn't be able to bend the shoe when you're buying the runner.
That applies to, I'd say, 99% of patients. So if patients have forefoot problems where bones are dropped, or we'll say a severely hallux rigidus, which is where the big toe is quite stiff, then it needs to be able to bend. So like a lot of the more functional trainers now for running, walking, hiking have got kind of carbon plates, or they have stiffeners inbuilt in. So they hold body weight, but a lot of them would have stiffeners, but yet underneath the sole base is still quite soft. So I'm always kind of warning patients that, you know, the turnaround is much quicker. So people would say, oh, I've trainers for a year, I keep them for 2 years. Now it's only six, seven months. If you're walking every day, it's 6, 7 months, they're gone.
Yeah, absolutely. So generally speaking, people should spend a few bob and get a decent pair of runners, especially if you're going to be walking a lot.
Yeah, you'll spend it going to the physio, or spend it getting injured. And look, like, these trainers are doing how many thousand steps a week, and they're holding 10, 11, 12 stone, and, you know, they're like your tyres on the car. They're your mobility devices to get you out the door. So they are worth the money.
Yeah, I'll have to go and buy a pair of books.
Reinvest.
So reinvest, I think, definitely, Anne-Marie. Now, let's start with some questions for you. This is from a concerned mum. She says, my young girl is always complaining of her heels and tiptoeing around the house. She's 11 years old. I don't think this is normal. Would I be best to bring her to Anne-Marie for a look?
Yes, that's the answer. Yeah. So tiptoeing, like, we do see patients coming in with tiptoeing on a regular basis, but normally it's the younger, as in 3, 4, 5. So one of the reasons, there's two different kind of pathways that causes tiptoe. So one is functional, where there's a restriction, as in tightness, or else two, like, if you think there, when you wear a pair of high heel shoes or a shoe with a wedge, that you feel taller, so you're giving yourself an arch. So we say that young girl is going up on her tippy toes to give herself an arch, because when her heel hits the ground, it's obviously pulling or it's causing tightness. So normally we'll say kind of 6, 7, once the hips start to widen and once they start to bulk up, that tiptoeing should resolve. And if it hasn't resolved, there's an underlying biomechanical fault or restriction going on. So at 11, she shouldn't be doing that. So if she kind of does that a lot, what tends to happen, and I see with younger patients, is that the lesser joints, as in the lesser digits and the big toe, they start to form a bunion, or they start to form hammer toes, because they have their body weight and their toes and the joints started to displace. So like with this patient here, we'd always implement either heel lifts, we would give them an exercise program, a stretching program, look at their hobbies, see is there any kind of underlying kind of birth kind of malalignment, and we'd keep an eye on them. So like, that's easily resolved, but we'd figure out what's causing it in the first place.
Next question is someone looking for advice on trainers for hill walking or low-level walking, ideally something with a bit of bounce.
Well, a lot of the trail trainers, they can be quite stiff and they've got a kind of a traction system underneath for grip. So, like the... Am I allowed to mention brands? I am.
You are?
Yeah. So the Columbias I quite like. They're quite light and they're nice. And they have a nice round square toolbox. The Merles is another brand. You can go for the Solomons, but they're quite tight. So if you've got a wider foot, they won't suit. You can go for the Brooks Trail. I always kind of put a patient of a bigger build, as in a broader build, into the Brooks Cascadias or the trail shoes because they're quite stiff. So they need to be kind of broken. Not broken down, but you need a bigger body weight to carry the shoe. So you can go for like boots, you can go for like, you know, like even if you look at the lower level kind of hill walking brands, like we say Mountain Warehouse, or even look at the boots, you know, it all depends on the foot type and how much mileage you're actually doing.
I was, just as an aside, I interviewed the PRO for the Killarney Mountain Rescue or Kerry Mountain Rescue there a couple of weeks ago, and he said you wouldn't believe the amount of people who go up Carron Thuhill in the most ridiculous footwear.
I'd say, yeah. You need traction on a surface like that. You need grip. So if there's been a lot of rain and moss and, you know, we'd say if you go over and do cardiac steps in Killarney, you need traction in that footwear. So when you're coming down, you're not going to slide and go over on your ankle.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this next listener says, will you ask Anne-Marie this for me? I have RA for the last 10 years.
Rheumatoid arthritis.
I figured that. And I feel my feet are becoming unsteady and losing the pads under my feet. I tried many shoes, but they are just not comfortable. Maybe a made insole might help, but my consultant never suggested a podiatrist.
Yeah, that's quite common. But look, like with rheumatoid, you must think it's a long-term kind of issue that's brewing. It's a long-term condition that's brewing. So a lot of rheumatoid arthritic patients coming in would be on long-term methotrexate or steroids, or, you know, they'd have flare-ups where they'd have to go on a couple of weeks or even months of steroids to reduce the inflammation. So what happens then over time is we've got natural fibro fatty pad on the balls of our feet. So we've got it all over the body, so it protects our bones. So it's like a duvet effect. And you need that duvet underneath the ball of the foot to protect you from external forces, walking, whole body weight. And due from the kind of medicinal aspect of rheumatoid arthritis, the fibro fat pad then disperses, as in it thins out. So what we see with a lot of patients is that the mesh tarsal heads, so the mesh tarsal heads are cut heads and have the knuckles underneath the ball of the feet, so they become more prominent and they would get the feeling of walking on bones or walking on stones. But this would progress over years. It doesn't just happen overnight. So as the years go on, the fat pad will get thinner and thinner and thinner, and then they'll start to blame the footwear and they'll start looking for solutions and peddings and creams and whatever. But like with rheumatoid, you get kind of it's like a volcanic effect. You'll get flare-ups every so often and then it goes into dormancy, and then what happens with those flare-ups is, especially in the feet, the bones will displace and they'll move. So people will get retracted digits or hammer toes, or they'll start to get corns on the ball of the feet because of the fat loss. So normally with a patient like that, we would build them a device just to alleviate and divert the pressure from the ball of the foot. So a lot of patients would come in with mesh tarsal head drop, or even it's quite common for the outside fifth mesh tarsal head to become displaced where they form a tailor's bunion. And then that's where a kind of a custom made device where we would do it to suit the patient and to divert the pressure off the bones. But now we were talking about shoes earlier. So, you know, the way you were saying about shoes that don't bend, for that type of patient where they have the problems on the ball of their feet, we make sure they go into shoes that can bend.
Okay. Moving on, this is a gentleman who's been a builder all his life, and he says, with wear and tear and not looking after my legs, my ankles are causing me a lot of trouble in later years. I've been for physio and x-rays, but it only seems temporary and it's affecting my evening walk at the moment. I wear good footwear and I've lost some weight recently, so I was wondering, would it be my alignment after many years of hard labour? Feet get stiff in the mornings and it takes me a while to get going. Any advice appreciated?
I'd say if you reverse that comment, I'd say it's the years of hard labour that have caused the malalignment. So like you must think anyone coming into me, and I'm 24 years open, anyone in a weight bearing job on a concrete surface doing whatever 40, 50 hours a week, they're guaranteed to develop alignment problems. So you must think a builder, he's on uneven surfaces, boots, lifting, tugging up and down ladders, up and down scaffolding. So those joints are moving, we'll say whatever, 20,000 times a day, and then multiply that by 40 years. Sure, of course they're going to wear. So like, you know, I always say to patients when they come in, you know, if I had tires in the car outside, they were 40 years old. So your feet are like the tires in the car, and they do displace, they do flatten, and they, you know, they will form kind of wear and tear, where kind of arthritic nodules will form, or like the ankle joint is a hinge joint, and it can only take so much. So we've got kind of like, I always call it WD-40, but we've got lubricant in between our joints, and you know, it's a hinge. And then as we get older, our bones kind of remodel and become kind of arthritic or worn. So then that's when the joint becomes compromised. So for a fella like that, fair juice for losing weight, by the way, but for a fella like that who's in that job, it's pretty much guaranteed that we put him into a stability device to act as a stabilizer. So our ankles become unstable as we get older, and then our kind of job then is to come along and make them stable. So that would be by means of some sort of casted device or an orthotic. And then we'd look at, like he says he's good footwear, but we'd always look at people's footwear to make sure that everything is kind of matching up. But there, if it's affecting his even walk, it's definitely a malalignment problem, or there's a shift in the foundation going on.
Yeah, so he needs to see you, I think.
Yeah.
We better take a break at this point, Anne-Marie. The questions are flying in, which is always nice to see, but we'll try and get through as many of them as we can. It's 2:15. You're listening to Tuesday's Talk About. More from our podiatrist, Anne-Marie, after these.
Ask the Podiatrist on Talk About, brought to you in association with the Tralee Killarney Podiatry Clinics, your local foot and ankle experts.
This next question is from a listener called Breda. Breda says, could you ask the podiatrist about corns in between my small toes and corns underneath my toes? I've been getting them for years. Is there any solution?
Well, corns are from pressure. It's as simple as that. So as we get older, I was saying there that joints displace. So if you're getting them in between, it's just one toe basically hitting off the other toe. So callus will form first, and then the corn then is a centre of pressure. So the problem is that once, if that problem is going on for years and years, fat then becomes dispersed. So it's normally kind of bone on bone. So they can be quite severe. So a lot of patients then would be getting them done quite regularly. So, you know, you can get little devices inside in the pharmacy, like little toe separators or gel toe separators, or even the toe covers. They're quite good. You get them online, they're cheap. But it's all about stopping the toes from hitting off each other. Then the corns underneath, like, you know, you must think as we get older, our arches always collapse, and the foundation will shift. So underneath the mesh tarsal heads is quite a common area for people to kind of get corns. So like when it comes to patients like that coming into myself, because I specialise in the biomechanics side and the alignment side, we would always look at how can we divert the pressure away. So and that, you know, that's by building a device, whatever, to see where can we alleviate any other kind of symptoms and kind of even out the tracking of the foot. But the corns in between are quite, well, some patients, I'd say about 80% of patients are easily resolved, and the other ones, no, because the foot is too progressed. So it's going on too long and the bones have too much displaced. So with that type of patient coming in, it's all about maintenance, keeping them comfortable, keeping them mobile, giving them advice on footwear, and just, you know, keep everything ticking along nicely.
Now, we have an 81-year-old male listener, Anne-Marie, who says, I get excessive heat on both feet, as well as on my stomach and high up my back. This is where there is no other heat involved. So he's looking for, is that more of a medical query, or I'm not sure, but he gets heat on his feet.
From the podiatry side, from what we experience, it could be a sign of pre-diabetes. We don't know. Neuropathy. We would always look at the kind of medical history, but like, is it heat inside in the bed or is it heat during the day? So is there an underlying heart problem going on? You know, like when patients come in like that, that's more circulatory. It's not from a sciatic problem or a mechanical problem. But in general, it could be a side effect from medication. It could be whatever, pre-diabetes, or if he is a diabetic, neuropathy, or it could be something to do with circulatory.
Okay, a couple, maybe he should go to his doctor, perhaps,
yeah,
and
have a look.
Have a look. Lady in her 60s says the top of her middle toe on the left foot is very tender at times and turns blue. This is above the nail area. It's not sore or swollen. She's wondering what it might be.
That could be a chilblain this time of the year. Do you know, with the cold weather, so it's peripheries. So if it kind of turning blue, that's definitely circulatory, and that would be, it's like, it looks like a bruise. Normally that's what a chilblain looks like. So that there, if you're wearing kind of meshy trainers, like the cold air is cutting through and your circulation might be a little bit compromised. So maybe put on like a padded boot, or maybe you can get some thermal socks, or you can get kind of thermal footwear as well. But, you know, just, it's all about withholding heat inside your footwear, and obviously exercise to get your heart pumping, to get the blood to the peripheries. If you're sitting down watching TV, don't have your legs hanging down, elevate them. What else can you do? There is a cream for chilblains you can get off your GP, but I'd kind of try the conservative methods first. But
and
just keep the feet warm.
While we're talking about cold feet, we have a lady in her 70s who suffers from cold feet, and she was wondering, could you recommend any suitable footwear?
Well, like leather footwear will hold the heat. A trainer won't. So a trainer's mesh, and the heat will disperse. So like you can get kind of more like, you know, the kind of sheepskin padded type boots. Now the problem is you're hitting the wrong time of the year, and they would all be out of stock because the summer stock is coming in. Look, you might get them online, or else you could go for more of a padded slipper. If you're going to any of the kind of medical stores where they have sheepskin lining, they will act as a kind of a duvet effect, and they will hold the heat. You can get thermal socks, you can get them in most places, or else you can buy the kind of sheepskin kind of insoles, and they will also hold the heat.
Yeah, that's good advice, actually. A lady with weak back muscles would appreciate if Anne-Marie could recommend a suitable trainer that would give her good support because she likes walking.
Yeah, there is, like, it all depends on her foot type, but if she's got flat feet or a bit of a weakness for being an overpronator, there's different brands out there. You can go for the Asics. Asics 2000s have a good support, or even the Asics Nova Blast. You can go for the Brooks Glycerin GTS. They're a support trainer. You can go the more the trail range, would be the Columbia or the Merles. But to support somebody's back, what we always look for, we're always looking for a thicker sole. So lace up, do not go for slip on. Make sure the sole is stiff just to give you support, and make sure the block, as in the heel counter, as in you have a thick sole. So do not wear flat, because that'll drag your back.
Now we're back to children again.
Okay.
And this mom is worried about her 7-year-old daughter. She says on both feet she has formed bunions. They aren't hurting her, but I'm worried about what will happen when she gets older. Is there anything I can do?
There is. You can come in to see me. People always kind of that attitude is kind of going as the years go on, because people are more educated about their lower limb. So like a 7-year-old with 7-year-old bunions, if you don't look after it, the only way they're going to get is they're going to progress. So they're not going to get better. So at 7, they obviously started forming when she started weight bearing when she was 2 or 3. So I would pretty much guarantee you this child has excessively flat feet. So when you've got flat feet, the foot rolls in, and that's why the big toe turns, and that's why people form bunions. So people would always come in and say, oh, my mother had bunions. But I'd always correct them and I'd say, no, your mother had flat feet, and then she developed bunions because of the flat feet. So it's bunions are always secondary to a primary. So there's always a primary fault, and then the secondary then is the bunion. So people would always be saying to me, oh, you know, I wore tight shoes when I was younger. Yes, you probably did, which probably made the bunions worse, but the flat feet would have caused them in the first place. So because the flat feet weren't corrected, then the bunion developed. So this kid here, there's loads of things we can do. So if it is a malalignment problem, we would give them an orthotic. We would look at giving toe spacers, because like an orthotic really is just a plate just to support the kind of underlying structure, but it really does nothing for toes. So for HAVs, which is bunions, for bunions we'd always introduce separators to stop the joint getting more lazy, so to stop it from turning. So and we would train them up in those, and then there's different sizes of toe separators, so we would kind of gauge their size as well. But definitely a 7-year-old have to be looked at.
Yeah, and do it now, sooner rather than later. Female age 72 says, lately my small toe on my left leg can turn in towards the next toe and hurt. I put a cotton wool bud in between the toes and it can help. Is there a more permanent item I can use, or is there an overall solution?
Well, that sounds like the fifth toe is getting lazy, which they do because they're the outside stabiliser. So they'll tuck in underneath, and then the problem then is the fourth is sitting on the fifth toe. So the cotton wool is a waste of time because that compresses. So if I have a piece of cotton wool on my hand, and if I press it together, it compresses. So how is that going to separate the toes? Now it'll act like a little bit of a cushion, but it's not enough. So you can get kind of foam separators inside in the pharmacy, and they're just, you get the small ones and you just slot them in, and it'll just, now it won't correct the toe, but it'll stop it from hitting off the other, off the fourth digit. So, but it'll make you feel better, and it'll stop you getting kind of hard skin and kind of blistering. But like, there's little, I personally don't like the gel separators because they cause moisture, and patients in general don't like them anyway, but more kind of the foam and the material separators are much better. And like, I would kind of break them in. I wouldn't use them going for a walk this evening. I would give it kind of a week to kind of break it in and just kind of get used to it, because the joint wouldn't be used to be kind of shoved out.
Okay. Mary was in touch. She says, Anne-Marie, I have bad veins and I find if I wear runners, they make the backs of my legs very tired. Could you recommend a proper runner that would suit me? Maybe one with a higher lift inside.
That sounds like now like trainers are very flat and they're dragging the back of your legs, which is making your veins probably flare up. So look, like any of the trainers that you see inside the shops nowadays, they all have kind of higher stacks. So like it depends what weight you are, it depends what height you are, it depends how much mileage you do. Like they're like I said before, the Asics or the Brooks are very good, but if you want something a bit more sturdy, you could kind of go down the kind of trail route where they'd have a more of a compressed sole. But what you're looking for when you go into a shop, and I'd always kind of educate patients on the kind of different factors to look in footwear, is that you're looking for a higher stack, and you know, just get your thumb and press the sole. And just, if it's very much like a cushion, I would probably stay away from it if you're looking for more support. Now, some patients need cushioning, but like the patient who's looking for support needs a chunky sole, because that stops the back of the legs then from getting tired.
Very good. And I'm just going to give you one more, actually. And this is from someone whose calves burn when they start walking. When I rested, it eases down and I can walk again also. And I can walk again. Also, when I bend down to tie my shoes, it also burns the side of my calves. Could it be the shoes?
No, it's your flexibility is extremely tight, I would pre-predict. So if you think about it, you're bending down, you're stretching, the cords at the back of your legs are pulling, and that's why you're getting the burning. So now the shoes can contribute to that, as in exacerbate it and make it worse, but there's also probably an underlying flexibility issue there, where maybe you might need an exercise program from your physio, and just to get some kind of stretching exercises to loosen. I'd always recommend patients to go for a deep tissue massage, just from top, now not just the legs, top to body, just to loosen all those elastic bands. So if you're in a sitting job, or even as we get older, we do seize, and it's symptoms like that. Also, you could get kind of, you could try gel heel cups. So I'd lift the insole up of your trainers and I'd slot the gel heel cup underneath. Now, sometimes I tell patients, put two in, and that'll alleviate pressure from your calf. So that's more of a kind of a temporary issue, but you kind of need to look at the mechanical aspect, as in what's causing the tightness.
Yeah.
So you need to kind of do a couple of things to alleviate.
Well, listen, we better let you go. But before we do, of course, people can find you at the Tralee and the Killarney Podiatry Clinic.
Yeah. So we're based there in Carslee. We're the greenhouse there next door to McGuire's Butchers. And then we are in Killarney on the Park Road.
Yeah, and is there much of a waiting list at the moment?
Just a bit.
Just a little bit of a one. But ring anyway and make that appointment.
Yeah.
Anne-Marie, thanks a million for that.
Thanks a million for having me.
We'll chat to you again in April, all going well. Now, busy day on the comment line. Lots of comments to read for you, and we're back with those.